John 20, verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been placed, that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciple went back to where they were staying. Now I'm moving on to verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now I'm going to go to John 11, and this is verse 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Now I'll pray for Tim as he comes to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, alive and active. We stand on these promises. Thank you. Father God, we ask that you bless Tim now as he comes to speak to us. Anoint him afresh with your spirit. Bring wisdom and understanding to us all through his message. And may grace and peace be ours in abundance through this more knowledge of you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Suzanne. Morning, everyone. Morning. Happy Easter. So good to see you. And my name's Tim, one of the leaders here. And if we've never met, I'd love to meet you at some point this morning. Do say hello on the way out. Today, along with hundreds of millions, even billions of people, we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I want to ask the question, or answer the question as well, why is that? Why do we do that? You know, what do these kind of mysterious events over 2,000 years ago have to do with you and I today and those being baptized? You know, is this just a kind of bit of escapism? It's what a lot of people think, you know, churches sing some nice songs, a bit of distraction before we return to the reality of Monday morning and the constant rain. Anyone fed up with the rain? Apparently it's been the wettest winter for like 150 years. Extraordinary rain. But it's not just the rain, is it? It's not just the literal rain, it's the storms of life that kind of hit us time and time again. The world we live in is swept by storms, and too often They invade our lives. They bring deep emotions like anger and rage and pain and grief, as we're thinking about even this morning. And we can be left wondering, how do I get through this storm? How do I handle this grief? How do I move forwards and face tomorrow? Where is God in all this? You know, I was listening last week to the presenter, Adrian Charles, talking about facing the biggest storm of all, the storm of death. In The Guardian, he writes this about the death of his father. I remain shocked at how shocked I am at his dying. After all, he was 86. We knew it was coming, and it was a mercy to him, to all of us, that it came when it did. And though I loved him greatly, I'm surprised and even a bit guilty about being so terribly upset. I got a text referring to my dad's death. I'd not seen it expressed like that. Death. Death rather than died. It floored me. Odd that. Dying too. I flinched as I typed that above. Wow, if even the most basic nouns and verbs lie in wait, scattered like shards of glass, how are you supposed to negotiate any of it? It's a good question, isn't it? You know, despite our many advances in society, we don't seem to be able to do anything about the agony of death. We still stand at the graveside and weep. That storm still overwhelms us. You know, and it's strange. It's, instead of it feeling normal, because actually it happens to everyone, death feels like an intruder, doesn't it? Death feels wrong, like it doesn't belong. And that's what we've been experiencing as a church, as loved ones have died or been told they will do soon. It feels wrong. And actually, we experience that not just with physical death, but we kind of experience that in the thousand smaller deaths that we experience when suffering and pain come into our lives. It's like they're little deaths, like they don't belong. You know, despite our best efforts to shrug off life's tragedies, they actually wound us deeply and leave us with the question, how do we cope with it all? And that's exactly the issue that Jesus is addressing with those very famous words. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And he who believes in me will never die. I mean, this is astounding and might seem a bit confusing, because Jesus seems to be suggesting there's a way through death, that death doesn't even kind of touch us in the same way that it should. How is that possible? How is there a way through the darkest and deepest storm of all? That's what we're going to look at this morning. Jesus wants to see that there is hope. Hope. In the words of the old hymn, there is strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And this morning I want to talk about how that's possible. Firstly, there is strength for today. God is with you. Who needs strength today? Yeah. We need strength just to kind of face life, don't we? You know, the context of Jesus' words here are really important. So Jesus actually says, I'm the resurrection and the life, just a few weeks before his own death. And it's at a moment when tragedy has struck the family of some of his closest friends. And he goes to visit them and he meets Martha, who's in desperate grief because her brother Lazarus has died. So he's speaking into the context of death, of grief. And like all bereaved people, she has so much pain and many, many questions, not least, why did this happen? You see, Jesus was famous for healing the sick, for working miracles. But the truth is, Jesus is late. Jesus turns up late. Even though he was told about Lazarus's illness while he was alive, Jesus didn't come. And he arrives actually 4 days after the death of Lazarus. And Martha's like, what? Why didn't you come? And what she says is, look, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Why weren't you here? She experienced what so many have done, the agony of kind of the ambulance arriving too late, the desperate prayer hanging in the air, the diagnosis that doesn't come in time. You know, times like that are so hard. So hard. They inevitably lead to questions like the questions that people asked in verse 37 of chapter 11. They say, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man, kept this man from dying? Do you ever ask questions like that of God? Could you not have done something? Why didn't you answer my prayer? And the lurking question, don't you care? A lot of people wonder that about God. Does God care? And Jesus responds in verse 23. He says, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, well, I know that. I know that he will rise again. But that's a distant future. That doesn't really help me now. Lazarus is dead now. What can help with death now? You know, saying to a grieving mother, you know, your child will, you'll see your child again in heaven. Although that's an important truth, that is not a lot of comfort in that moment. Where is the help now? You know, Jesus wants Martha to see something now. You know, lots of people think that all that God offers is a distant hope, sometime in the future. But Jesus comes to bring something much more than that. He's saying much more than that there is resurrection in the future. He's saying, I am the resurrection and the life now. There is life available now. I'm here for you now. The one who holds the keys to the problem of death is before you now. Jesus says, if you believe, you will live now. And you might be thinking, what is he talking about? Well, he's pointing to this extraordinary truth that in Jesus, we have none other than God himself. God come to earth. God come to meet us and walk with us in our pain. You know, in our hardest moments, you know, if you think about like when you're ill, you know, especially as a child, what do you want? You want your presence of often your parents, yeah, your mum or your dad. The presence of someone who loves you makes all the difference. You know, with Jesus, we remember that God comes to be present with us. He's not distant, aloof from our suffering. He wants to be close, wants to walk with us, help us, give us the strength that we need. Maybe that's what you need this morning. You need to know there is someone who loves you more than you could possibly imagine, who is not far off, but wants to draw near to you, to embrace you, to reveal his love for you. And you know, if we had any doubt if God cares, we then have the shortest verse in the Bible, but one of the most powerful. Verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Those two words, they encapsulate so much. Jesus's presence in our suffering, his kind of compassion towards our pain, his own raw grief at the wrongness of death. God is not indifferent to our suffering. He came to be with us. Jesus weeps not just for Lazarus, for his friend's death, but for the agony that all death brings into our world. And it brings an awful lot of agony. Why? Why then do we have death? You know, that according to the biblical authors, the reason death feels so shocking and out of place is because death actually wasn't part of the original creation. It's actually an enemy that doesn't really belong. And you might think, well, why is it there? Well, the Apostle Paul writes that death entered the world through something else. So actually death comes because of something else. This is what he says. Death came through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. The presence of death was caused by sin. You might think, well, what is sin? Well, sin is our rebellion against God, our rejection of the one who made us and gives us life. Sin is what happens every time we choose to walk in the path of evil rather than in the path of good. And death comes in, kind of a bit like God's limit on evil, a limit on how much evil can be caused by any one person. And death ends up reigning in the world because sin reigns in our lives. And Jesus weeps for all that. But Jesus has come to do much more than just weep with us and be with us in our pain. Amen? He has come to strengthen us in those moments in that valley. But he has come to bring the brightest hope. And this is what we're going to look at next and finally. There is strength to today, but there is bright hope for tomorrow. Death has been conquered. You know, Jesus at this point in John 11 had already promised his disciples about Lazarus, this sickness will not end in death. We got that wrong. Well, that's what it looks like. It can often feel like that and look like that with God. Oh, he got that wrong. But you know, God is so often doing so much more and bringing a bigger answer than we could possibly dream. Everyone thinks Jesus has got it wrong. It looks like death has won. But remember the truth we looked at a few weeks ago as a church. The story isn't over if the story isn't good. That is always true in our lives. The story isn't over if the story isn't good. And then Jesus does something crazy. He tells people to move the stone from the tomb of Lazarus. And everyone is like, what? 4 days? Decomposing body? No way. It's like, what are you doing, Jesus? He says, did I not tell you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? The answer Jesus is bringing Martha is beyond anything she dreamed. And so the tomb is opened. And then there's this famous moment as Jesus cries out, Lazarus! And Lazarus walks out in his grave clothes, raised from the dead. It's like, what? And people are amazed and overjoyed and a bit terrified. And the disciples are thinking, wow, that's how it's going to be. Even if we get killed, Jesus is just going to raise us from the dead. What they don't realize is that in a few weeks' time, Jesus is actually going to do something far greater than that. Far greater than they even see with Lazarus. You see, the raising of Lazarus, as amazing as it was a temporary miracle. You know, Lazarus still died one day. At Easter, Jesus comes to do something far greater than just restore the life we already have back. He actually comes to deal with death and do away with death once and for all. To actually end death, to give us life eternal with him. How? How? Well, that can only happen if somehow Jesus deals with the cause of death, which, remember, is sin. Sin. sin that's in us. This is the bigger answer that Jesus is bringing. You see, Jesus draws closer than we can imagine. He doesn't just walk with us in our pain and grief. He walks ahead of us into death itself. He takes the path we should take to judgment. Jesus, who knew no sin, the only one who basically didn't need to die because he was sinless, ends up dying on a cross. He becomes sin for us. He takes our debt, pays our penalty of death. The Bible puts it this way in 1 Peter 3:18. Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's me and you, to bring you to God. It's this amazing exchange that Jesus offers us. And as he cries out, as he dies on the cross, it is finished. You might be thinking, what does he mean? What is finished? Well, the work to overthrow death is finished. It is done. It is paid for. Love as one. Chris Wright describes it this way. He said, Jesus in his death took on the worst that human and satanic power could inflict upon him, death itself, and won the victory by taking on himself the sin that gives death its sting and its power. Where we rebelled and disobeyed, Jesus submitted and obeyed. Where we failed, Jesus covered and succeeded and wins the greatest victory there has ever been. And having declared his victory in the realm of the dead, 3 days later, Jesus proves his victory, proves that death no longer has a hold on him, and he rises again, not like Lazarus to die again, but with a new resurrected body that is familiar in some ways, but radically different. And he says, look, this is what I'm doing for you. This is what I want to give you, this indestructible life that will go on for all eternity. And you might be thinking, well, how do we experience all that? How do I know God in my life right now and his strength to face these storms? How do I have that hope of resurrection? How do I handle the storms? Well, the key to it all is faith. Notice these words again of Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Right now, I am that, he's saying. Here for you. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Resurrection will come for those who believe. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And then he just highlights it again. Thomas says, do you believe this? Do you believe? Jesus will change your life if you let him. If you believe, he's able to set free all those who all their lives have been held in kind of fear of death. And you might think, well, why does faith in Jesus matter? Well, it's because Jesus is the only one who has walked the path of death and come out the other side holding the keys of victory. I mean, who else can you trust death to other than the one who has, the only one who has overcome it? You know, faith is saying much more just than I believe in the existence of Jesus. It's an expression of desire for him, an expression of trust in him. It's saying, I want your presence. I want the life that you've won for me. I want your strength every day. I want to follow you. That's what those who are being baptized today are going to be expressing. They're saying, I believe. I believe. Do you believe? Do you believe? Have you been in fear of death? You know, Jesus has come to give us the life we always long for. It's described as an everlasting life, and it begins not when we die, but it begins the moment we invite Jesus into our lives. He comes by his Spirit to live in us, so in that sense, we never die. You know, Jesus has already taken that path for us. He will lead us through death if we want him to. He will give us our new resurrection bodies. You know, we still live in a world that is full of sin and death. But Jesus is coming back. Amen? Jesus will return. And it says, as well as renewing and resurrecting us, he's going to renew the whole of creation. And at that moment, he says, and I was reading this just this morning, he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more pain. Isn't that good? No more sadness, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more death. For the old order of things will have passed away. And the one who promises that says, behold, I'm making everything new. This is our hope. It can be your hope too, if you believe. Do you believe? Let's pray together. And up on the screen, there's going to be a prayer that's just a prayer of belief. It's a prayer you can pray if you already believe. But it's a prayer you can pray if you want to believe, even for the first time this morning. It just says, thank you, Jesus, you died in my place. Thank you, you took my sin. Thank you that you offer me eternal life. And it says, I choose to trust you and follow you. And it says, please come into my life now. And so we can pray this if you'd like to. I encourage us to pray it out loud if you want to pray this. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that you died in my place. Thank you that you took my sin. Thank you that you offer me eternal life. I choose to trust you and follow you. Please come into my life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me just pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for the amazing hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, we say, help us to believe. Help us to trust that you are the resurrection and the life, that those who believe in you will live even though they die, and that when we believe in you, we will never die. Lord, come by your Spirit, Lord, especially this morning for those who are grieving, breathe your hope afresh. And Lord, for those believing for the first time, Lord, come and bring your life, we pray. Amen.